And finally, how could I resist repeating an answer about one of the smaller coastal critters, but one that nonetheless is still quite well endowed?
Beverly says, how do barnacles mate with each other?
Barnacles, if you've ever been down to the shoreline, are rooted very solidly to the spot. So how do they move around and find a mate? Well, lots of other marine creatures have a similar problem. Things like corals, which are animals, they don't move either, but they solve that by sending their sperm and eggs up into the water, and hopefully they'll meet each other and fertilisation will take place and larvae will be created. But that's not what barnacles do. Barnacles look a bit like other types of mollusk on the seashore, but they are in fact a type of crustacean. So like crabs and lobsters, things like that, but very much smaller. But they do actually have sex directly, and the only way they can do that is by having a very long appendage. The male barnacles have very long penises, one of the longest in comparison to the size of the body that there is in the animal world, animal kingdom. And
it didn't include me in the analysis, just like to say that.
No comment. And the barnacle males will literally poke around next to them and see what they can find. So they don't have much reach, really, in actual terms, but they can reach out and fertilise female barnacles. So take a closer
Brilliant.
Look next time you're down on the shore. And yes, most barnacles are in fact actually hermaphrodites. Each one is both male and female at the same time, so they both have that incredible long penis, up to 8 times their body length, and also a set of female sex organs as well. But they do have to mate, they can't just fertilise themselves. And in fact, leading on from that question, there was an interesting study published last year by Chris Neufeld and Robert Palmer from the Banfield Marine Sciences Centre on Vancouver Island in Canada, and they were looking at the anatomy of barnacles living in different environments. And they discovered that when barnacles live in calm, sheltered shores, they have longer, thinner penises compared to males living on shores exposed to lots of wave action. Now, it seems that when water's moving around and there's lots of strong current, it's easier to manoeuvre a shorter, stouter appendage. And when conditions are calm, it pays to have a longer, thinner penis so that each barnacle can reach more mates. And most interestingly, Neufeld and Palmer transplanted barnacles from an exposed to a sheltered shore, and they found that individuals could change the dimensions of their male members to suit their surroundings. Yes, aren't those barnacles really something? So many thanks again to everyone who's already sent in questions, and do keep them coming in. The email address, as always, is chris@thenakedscientist.com. And if this week's show has whetted your appetite for more fishy matters, then you might like to check out my new book that I've been working really hard on, and it finally hits the shelves this August. It's called Poseidon's Steed, and you might have guessed it's about those mysterious, beautiful denizens of the deep, the seahorses. It's packed full of all sorts of interesting seahorse science. I've hunted down answers to all sorts of questions like, why do they look so strange? How did they evolve? And the ultimate question, out of all of the millions of animal species that there are in the world, why are the seahorses the only males that get pregnant and give birth? What can the seahorses tell us about what it means to be male? Well, there's something in there for everyone, from plundered treasure and magical potions. Did you know seahorses were once used as a cure for baldness? To ancient artwork, cartoon characters, pop songs and aquariums. Have a look at my website, helenscales.com, for more details. And if you do fancy having a read, I'd love to hear what you think. Now that's just about all we've got time for this week. It just remains for me to say a big thank you once again to John Horton, Jules Jaffe and Les Watling, and to our production team, Ben Vowsler, Dave Ansell, Mira Santhillingham, Laura Soule and Diana O'Carroll. Tune in next week to hear Ben and Dave's best bits. They'll be bringing us some homemade steam engines, chocolate teapots and some explosive chemistry experiments with Brighton University's Dr. Howe. But for now, thanks for listening and goodbye.
The Naked Scientist podcast comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at nakedscientist.com.